Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Today we turn to the fifth chapter of Peter's first epistle, reading verse 6 as follows. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, dear friends in Christ. Actions often have unintended consequences. This is especially true for big, monumental, important actions. In his book, Last Call, The Rise and Fall of Prohibition, author Daniel O'Krent tells the interesting story of how Prohibition, which was meant to rid our country of the scourge of alcoholism, never even came close to fulfilling that goal. What it did do was usher in a host of important unintended consequences that the supporters of Prohibition could never have envisioned. The author shows how it was really Prohibition that eventually gave us such things as a national income tax, the mafia, plea bargaining, the city of Las Vegas, the sport of NASCAR, the right to privacy, and even Roe v. Wade. Talk about unintended consequences. We stand at the start of a new year and a new semester. We've all got hopes and intentions and plans. Is it possible to make plans for the future and get all of the intended consequences and none of the unintended? It might seem impossible, but it's not. At least not for Christians, and not when it comes to the big, important parts of your life. For us, the results are guaranteed, and it's God who guarantees them. That's why for the next few weeks, we'll be focusing on 1 Peter chapter 5 in my next few chapel talks, under the theme, God's intended consequences. And the first of these is obvious. Humble yourself, and God will exalt you. Our text begins with the word, therefore. One seminary prof told us that in the Bible, when you come across the word, therefore, you better find out what it's there for. Well, with this word, Peter's referring back to the previous section in which he'd been talking about the persecution and the sufferings that the Christians were going through, and which, by the way, were about to get much worse. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. The believers were headed toward a period of marked suffering. They should expect it and not be surprised by it. God would get them through it. The Lord, as always, would provide. Therefore, since you already know ahead of time what's going to happen, what kind of attitude should you take? Peter points out the first simple and obvious intended and beneficial consequence you can get. Humble yourself, because when you humble yourself before God, he will exalt you. No question. Do this, and this is going to happen. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I probably don't even need to mention that this is exactly the opposite of the prevailing philosophy of our day. In our TikTok generation, young people are increasingly succumbing to the main character syndrome. They even have a name for it, in which young people see themselves as the center of the universe, with everybody and everything revolving around them. And you can hardly blame them, because today's society teaches them to be proud and self-promoting, to be as flamboyant and ostentatious and individualistic as possible, which, when you think about it, is pretty much the exact opposite of what the Bible says Christians are to be, isn't it? As a believer, God urges you to be humble and self-deprecating, to choose the lowest seat rather than the highest, to think of others better than yourself. Rather than glorifying the individual, Scripture says that you are part of the body of Christ. Your job is to give him all the glory. Jesus is the main character in your life, not you. Sadly, humility is a very rare quality, even in Christians. Can you say that you've always adopted an appropriate attitude of humility toward God, toward your superiors, toward your peers here at Emmanuel? I certainly can't say that. I frequently feel deep shame and disgust at the effects and the guilt of spiritual pride in my own life. Maybe you felt the same way. But there's good news. Because in this universally sinful and corrupt world in which we live, there is one person who never had any spiritual pride whatsoever, who always humbled himself, who never thought of himself, but was always thinking of you, your Lord Jesus, who being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. That's why Peter urges you too, as you follow Christ, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. To submit to suffering when it arises in your life. To say with the patriarch Job, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Peter urges you to say, "Thy will, Lord, be done." And to recognize with an appropriate sense of humility that God knows what he's doing in your life. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That passage has comforted believers down through the centuries. It's interesting that the word for casting there is the same word that they used in the account of Palm Sunday, when the disciples were casting their garments upon the donkey so that Jesus could make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. What a graphic picture. Everything you've got that gives you sorrow in this life, cast it on the Lord. This is not a suggestion, by the way. It's a command. Are you worried about a loved one who has cancer? Cast it on the Lord. Do you have relationship trouble, something that's really bothering you? Cast it on the Lord. Is there something about your life here at Emmanuel? Are you struggling a bit? Are you anxious about how you're fitting in with your classmates? Cast it on the Lord. And this is especially true, of course, when it comes to the biggest problem we all face, the problem of sin. When those sins rise up to accuse you. When you feel guilty and corrupt and sinful before God, that you are confronted with the things that you've done that you know are wrong, the things that you've left undone that you know you should have done, cast all those sins and flaws and failures on your Lord. Long ago, he already made atonement for every one of them. That's why the psalmist said, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Offload those burdens. Don't proudly try to carry that burden yourself. You were never meant to do that. Humble yourself under God's hand. He will lift you up at just the right time. That's not a wish, and it's not a hope. In Jesus Christ, it is a blessed reality. And it's one of God's most wonderful intended consequences. Amen. We'll conclude with the singing of stanzas 1 and 5 of hymn 420.